want to get started, I'm just going to run kind of top to bottom through 5-0. I'll talk a little bit about dates and features, and I'll demonstrate all the features which make sense to demonstrate that I can do in this environment. And if you have any specific questions, by all means, sing out with them. If it's appropriate for me to answer them at that moment, I will. Otherwise, if I say, well, let's talk about this after because I'm going to get to it, or it's more of an individual question, we can talk about it at the end. Up here in the front, we're going to do a recording of this because it'll get edited down and used for the ACB radio. So JAWS 5.0 is a paid-for release. It will be an SMA release. And this is, I think, the fourth year in a row about this time that we've been doing our paid-for releases. So we're kind of getting into a pattern here of a major release around August, September, and then we do a free update usually around January. This past year, I think we did it in February. We did the 4.5.1 release, which was a free update to the 4.5 release, which had come out in August. And I think we'll do something similar this year with 5.0. We're already actually working on a 5.1 update, some of the things that have already been moved into that or things that are being worked on for that. So I probably won't talk about anything coming in the update in any detail. 5.0 has been in private beta since early June. We have 120 private beta testers. We have about 30 which are constantly giving feedback on a daily basis. I think we get upwards of 40 to 50 messages a day, and our private beta testers download new versions sometimes every other day, sometimes once a week. It kind of depends on what my travel schedule is like and what the builds have been like. But we build a new version every day, and we have a team of developers that are working on this thing right now. So it's kind of still a in process, and I expect that we will be feature complete, and I think everything is going to be functioning as it needs to be in order to get to public beta, and that should occur in around the first week of August. So we're still about 3 weeks out, I think, to a public beta. That would put us into a release date somewhere around mid-September is where I expect to be. I'm very comfortable with 5.0 already. The stability of the product is better than ever, and the feature set in the product has really come together. Things are working really well. And what isn't working well are very minor issues that are not going to be difficult to address. I think that this release is packed with things that the users are going to not only find useful as they continue to use the product the way they've always used it. We're introducing some new innovations into the way you will do some screen reading and the way you will use the web in particular, I think, going forward. I think we're really, we're kind of cutting edge. Last year we introduced quick navigation keys. I think that was a huge step in web navigation. And we're building upon that, and we're adding some other new features for you. So we'll go over those in some detail, and I'll show you what they are. Let me talk about a few areas that we're not going to demonstrate here this morning, maybe for obvious reasons. First of all, one of the features of 5.0 is that we're replacing the authorization scheme so that you will not have to use an authorization diskette. You will be using an internet-based authorization. So when you install a JAWS for Windows on a computer, you will have an authorization code that you've received with it in print, braille, and electronically on a personalized CD. You will be asked to enter that number, so you can use it in any one of those means to enter it, and it will then go out onto the internet and send a communication back to your computer, and you're up and running. So you don't need an authorization disk.
What happens if you're not on the internet?
Good question. What happens if you're not on the internet? If you're not on the internet, you can either do this via the phone, or you can have someone else who's on the internet go on the internet for you, enter your number out to the internet, because you know when you enter your number into the computer, it will give a code back to you if you're not on the internet. Well, you can then take that code, call someone on the phone, give it to them. They can go on the internet, plug that number in, get a number back, and give it back to you, and you can enter it in. So even if your computer is not attached to the internet, it's still capable of getting it done, even if our offices aren't open or reachable at the moment. Okay?
So just to clarify one thing there, Eric. You get the actual 5.0 say on CD.
Mm-hmm.
You stick that into your PC.
Mm-hmm.
It boot up. It starts to install. When it's finished the installing, what would happen then?
It'll ask you for your authorization code. It'll ask you to either type it in or stick in your authorization CD that you have.
Right.
And it'll suck the number in, and it's just going to be, believe me, it's going to just feel transparent.
Right.
It'll be very easy for you. Well, we've looked, you know, not to belabor the point because I don't want to spend it talking about authorization. We have authorization required for our product. It's a necessary solution because we have a worldwide distribution of this technology and it's the market leader. And the bottom line is if you don't have some sort of authorization protection on it, it is copied. And in order for us to develop and for me to be able to show you what I show you every year here, we have to have some sort of protection on it. So we spent this year 6 months and hundreds of man hours and hundreds of thousands of dollars implementing something that will be as easy and transparent to a blind user as possible. So not only are we providing you a number in print and braille, but we're actually creating personalized authorization CDs so they don't have to even type that number in. It's just sucked right in off the CD, and then it goes out on the internet, and a number comes back, and it goes in automatically. They don't have to type anything in. You know, it is, believe me, I think this is going to be found to be pretty easy. It'll be a lot easier than installing Microsoft Office. Now, will it be as easy as the authorization diskette?
The thing with the
That's the question.
Diskette is that I take it around because I have fixed computers, so I take my authorization diskette around, run up the jaws on that machine, do the fix, take the key off, and go back to another.
And in this case, the authorization disk, I think what Mike is saying is he actually likes the authorization disk for that matter. And you know what? I've been telling people for a long time, when we change from an authorization disk to this internet-based solution, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to say, we want our authorization disks back because we like that. You know what? It's not that difficult. The authorization disks have really worked tremendously well. However, what are we doing to meet the need? Because, Mike, the point you just raised was one of my issues, was one of the things I said, we've got to have a solution for this particular case. Because we can't give you unlimited installation. So we are limiting you to three, and then we're going to have to talk to you before we give you more. So if Mike goes out and repairs five machines a week, he can't use his authorization because you can't put it on and take it back off. So what we are going to do is make available an authorization code, which is for demonstration purposes. And it allows every computer in the world to become a 30-day fully functional demonstration license of JAWS. So instead of just downloading it from the internet and getting a 40-minute run on a computer and a reboot, you'll get 30 full days before it becomes a 40-minute reboot. Now, once those 30 days are used up, you can't start the 30 days over again. So it's one 30-day period per computer, per code. Now, I'll come out with a new code about every 6 months. So if you use it for 30 days and it'll die 5 months later, a new code will come along and you'll be able to use it for another 30 days on that computer. But I think that'll help, Mike, in most cases.
So long as the things don't fail within 6 months.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Say I go and fix a machine, and maybe 2 months down the line I have to go fix something on that machine again.
Then you'd be in trouble, because then you'd be down to a 40-minute then on that computer in the future.
Yeah, sometimes you can do it in 40 minutes.
Yeah. Now, another solution we also offer is we do have dongles that we distribute, either USB or parallel. So in your case, you might want to request a dongleized version of JAWS with a dongle that you take on the road. And that's something we can provide for you, you know, pretty much at cost. It's not a difficult thing for us to handle, okay? So I encourage you to talk to your dealers, talk to us. We want to accommodate, make sure that somebody who goes out and has to work in the field has the tool necessary to do it. And if a dongle, if a USB dongle is a good solution for you, or a parallel dongle, we'll take care of you with that, okay? All right, so authorization has changed. We are also we have rewritten our Java support from the ground up. We basically had reached a saturation point with the way we had implemented our Java. And the way we implemented Java for JAWS years ago didn't allow us to port it to our magnification software. And we basically reached a point where we couldn't go further with the way we had done it, so we scrapped what we had done and we did a rewrite of our Java support. Now, this was several people working for many, many months to get this done for this release, but it was something that we just felt was absolutely necessary and critical because there is no other screen reader on the market that is even attempting to support Java at this moment. And we had to get it back to a level that was going to be acceptable for people moving forward. So with the new access bridge, with the current SDK, I think you're going to find our Java support to be much better than it was before. And it's something we can grow with, and it'll be migrated and dropped right in for the Magic product as well, our magnification software. And that'll be coming out this fall, Magic with support for Java applications. This will include applications running in an applet, Java applets and IE. So you will have support there. Now, the reason I say that this was so important is that in a professional environment out there, and that's where JAWS is used so much for jobs today, Java applications are a reality. We looked at this whole terminal server Citrix issue over the past year, and we kind of made a decision, we're going to go back and do the Java first and get that done right, and we'll roll in the Citrix terminal server remote desktop stuff following that. So we're also announcing that while it's not coming in 5.0, we will have a release for first quarter 2004 at the outside that will have the terminal server Citrix remote desktop support that people are waiting for. And in that environment, I just want to reiterate the importance of people who are getting jobs or working in an environment where they're trying to use a terminal server solution. They're certainly trying to use professional type applications or customized applications that have been scripted for, or Java-based applications. So not only do people want to work in that environment, but they need to be able to use complex applications which they're currently today using in a desktop environment with JAWS. So we wanted to keep the expectations set correctly so that if you go to Citrix, you'd get the same type of support for the same applications you need to run in that environment. Okay, so let's look at some of the 5.0 stuff. So I've got a PC up here running JAWS 5.0. I'm currently running a build, not that you care, but it's a build 143 of the 5.0 version. And I've created a list here in a document, and the list is more for my reference. I'll just go down. We're going to hit each one of these lines, and I'll talk about them. We'll go out and we'll demonstrate them and show you how they work, and I'll answer questions as we go. So some of these things will be self-explanatory. Some of these things will take a little more in-depth explanation. If there's something that I cover that you don't understand, be sure to stop me so that we can back up. I want to make sure you get the idea. Forced focus to an edit field in HTML. And again, some of these things may not make so much sense until I explain them, but don't worry about that. Okay. You familiar with Google.com? Google.com is a great search engine in HTML, and when you land on that page, if you're running a screen reader or not, doesn't matter. When you look at the screen, visually, there's an edit field right in the middle of the screen, and there is what's called a forced focus of an edit cursor. So they actually put the cursor there, and it's blinking. Sometimes when you go to a form on the web, or you go to a place on the web, there are edit fields where you can type in information, but there is no edit cursor there. And the first thing the sighted person does is they move their mouse pointer to the edit field and they click on it to put the cursor in that edit field so they can then type in their information. You understand what I mean? In Google, they figure you're trying to type in information here all the time when you come to this website. Let's just put the cursor there. So that's what forced focus is. So let's try it out. Let's see. I'm already on the web here. Now, in 451, if you went to the Google website, what would happen is JAWS would start reading at the top of the page from top to bottom. It starts to say all. And what you would have to do, and different people do it in different ways, I guess, the way I did it, is I'd hit the control key first to stop the say all, then I'd press the letter F and hope it went to the form field. If the say all had already gone past the form field, it would take me to a button when I pressed F. And I have to get back to that form field where it says edit, and then I'd press enter to go into forms mode. Okay? Now, if you were a new user, this was fairly complex because it's hard enough understanding the difference between an edit and a button sometimes. Forget the fact that you have to get to the edit field and then press enter.
Yeah.
And you know, in Google in particular, there was no prompt for that edit field. It's just an edit field. So it's a little confusing. Well, let's launch Google and just listen how it behaves and see if this doesn't make more sense to you.
www.google.com.
So I'll press enter and then remove my hands from the keyboard and we'll just let JAWS talk the rest of it.
Enter. Enter. Press enter for forms mode.
That was it. So it said edit, press enter for forms mode. So you know that you're not in a dialog box of Notepad or something. You're actually on a web page and you just landed on a web page that had a forced cursor. Now you don't have to. You can just start arrowing from here. You're in the virtual buffer. But if you want, just press enter, type in your search, press enter, and you're gone. Okay? So it just kind of anticipates what you're trying to do. We're getting a little smarter now with this thing.
Is that the tutor voice that's giving that message? Or is that
the message voice is used to give the message that wasn't really written on the screen. Exactly. Okay?
Just one point there, Eric, on that case of pointing. In the past, oftentimes, in an edit field, you weren't always getting fed back all on the screen. Was that a Java problem?
That was a flash issue.
Flash issue.
Yeah, so what would happen is you would type in some text, and then if you tried to arrow across it, you couldn't get it. And what was causing that is you had visited a web page which contained Flash. At some time during this IE session, you've been on a page with Flash. Now, it might be the one you're on, or it might be the one you came from, but at some time you would hit Flash. Now, there was a way around that if you had to get around it, if you were trying to fill out a form. If you go to the address bar, copy the address of the page you're sitting on, launch a new session of IE, go to the address bar, paste it in, press enter, you then land back in the form and you haven't been on Flash in that session, it would have probably worked right. Okay? In 5.0, you won't have this problem. That's been solved.
No, it's just a lot. It
was a lot of jumping around. Yeah. But it was actually Flash which was creating a problem to the off-screen model. It was basically wiping out our ability to read the screen. Okay? All right, let's go back to our list.
Changes in link and wrap navigation support for quick map keys and HTML.
This one should be self-explanatory. You ever go to a website and maybe you're trying to fill out a form and you get to the bottom of the form and you hit F and it doesn't go anywhere because you're on the last one. Well, now it'll take you to the top of the form field. Okay, so let's try this. I'm going to hit it. I'm back on my Google page. I'll hit F.
Easy cursor, form go off. Google search button.
I'm going to hit F again.
I'm feeling lucky button.
F again.
Wrapping to top, edit, JAWS.
It said wrapping to top, edit, JAWS, because JAWS was something I had typed in the edit field before. Okay?
Which voice did you use that wrapping spot message? It sounded like the old voice.
The message voice.
Google search button.
I'll do it again.
I'm feeling lucky button. Wrapping the top, edit, JAWS.
No, it's not the message voice. It's just a regular PC voice. Wrapping the top. I think if you go shift tab, it goes the other way too.
Wrapping the top, I'm feeling lucky button.
It does. Okay? All right, back to my list.
Alt tab. Link. Aliases for all file names and covers, scripts, and emacs.
Okay. Now, this is something that I think many users, especially somewhat novice users, but people that are going in and trying to make changes to configuration files or key maps might appreciate. Do you ever launch, like go to IE and launch the configuration manager? What's the name of the file that gets loaded? Is it Internet Explorer? No, it's
Browse UI. And
if you ever went into the key maps, if you ever went to the keyboard manager and you went through the list of all the key maps and tried to figure out the key map for a particular application, it was very difficult to find. Well, we've created aliases, which should make a lot more sense now. So if we go into the configuration manager while in IE,
Browse Jaws Manager dialog, list box, configuration center, edit Jaws, Internet Explorer 5-6.jcf-jaws configuration manager.
So the file is called Internet Explorer 5.6. 5-6, exactly, JCF. So if you go to the keyboard manager, that's the file you would find. If we go into file open right now, so I'll just down arrow through some of these. So there's the JCF file for Adobe. It's called Adobe. AIM. I don't know what that one's really called, but it isn't called AOL Instant Messenger, but so now everything has a normal name. So, it'll be a lot easier for someone who's trying to make some changes there, okay?
All that forward.
Back to our list.
Just, can I ask
yes.
a question about the other day I went to the government, the U.S. government site to get a form down for, to get a visa for someone, and it was a PDF file. And Jaws just shut up because it started loading up. Went to the page and started loading up Acrobat Reader, and then it just went blank.
Because the document was locked, maybe?
No, I don't know why. It just, the document came up, but Jaws just wouldn't say what it read.
And it was visually, it was on the screen.
Yeah.
My guess is either it's an inaccessibly created document in Adobe, or it's a locked document. Now, with Acrobat, you're using Acrobat Reader 5 at the time?
Yeah.
Acrobat Reader 5, people have the ability to lock a document so you can't copy it, print it, change it in any way.
Yeah.
So they lock them. And this was an accessibility issue for Adobe, so they've built something in for Acrobat Reader 6, which communicates to the screen reader, or recognizes the screen reader, recognizes ours, 451 or 50, and says, it lets you use this.
You recommend leaving them for 6 of them?
Yeah, but I'm hearing some problems going on, so they've already put out one patch for it, for accessibility issues, but we're working very closely with the Adobe folks right now to make sure that 50 is very good with it. So if you're using Acrobat Reader 5 right now, you might consider going to 6. And if you struggle with it, you might consider waiting for JAWS 5. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, back to my list. We've put in a new driver for DoubleTalk in case anyone's been using it. There were a lot of issues with indexing, and that's been all resolved. Access scripts for Access 2000 and XP. We've rewritten those scripts pretty much from the ground up based on the object model and really updated them. So if you are using Access databases, you should find that to work much better now. Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Talking about Access databases, this maybe isn't really important to you, but if you're cited, you can set up relationships between multiple fields in Access.
Yes.
Even though there is a keyboard method of making relationships between two tables, the keyboard method doesn't tell you how to do it between more than one field.
That's a question beyond the scope of my knowledge.
That's fine.
Don't have an answer for you. Don't have an answer. If the object model supports it, though, it may be something that we can be addressing, but I don't know.
Do you have a method of reading number fields without making them edit fields?
That's beyond the scope of my knowledge, too. Obviously, if you haven't guessed yet, I don't use Access.
What's the question, Mike?
Reading memo fields without making them edit fields. Okay, I'll talk to you off screen.
Okay, support for AOL. We've been working closely with the America Online folks, and not that everyone in the UK cares, but America Online is working fairly well. We've also got Instant Messenger, the new AIM. Yeah, the new AIM is working very well. So if you do use that for instant messaging, that new version has been scripted and supported and documented in the help of JAWS 5.
When? Insert V more intuitive.
Insert V is a little more intuitive now. So like, let's go to... go back on the IE page, and if you went into the verbosity dialog box, some of these things just didn't make sense. So let's give them a listen now. Let's just run through.
JAWS, adjust JAWS verbosity dialog. List box, navigation, quick key, session, 135. Preference of HTML dash tag. Preference recognized by special tag. Links with preference dash all. As a last report dash preference URL. Links with image max dash all.
You know, and anything that has a dash after it, you can use the space bar to toggle between the choices. You know, so if I hit space bar here.
Space, links with text only, dash on October. Space, links with text only, dash August. Space, links with text only, dash custom search. Space, links with text only, dash title. Space, links with text only, dash screen text.
Now, I'm going to show you a great new feature we'll get to on the list hereafter, which shows you how to do that on the fly when you're on the web page without even coming into the dialog box. And you can check all the different types of ways that we try to read graphics and links and things like that on a web page. So I'll show you a way when we're on a web page after to toggle between those items without even having to come in here and change anything.
Would you be able to do that in Word or any other application except OE?
What? Change the verbosity?
Oh, yeah.
No, this is... Oh, let's go to Word.
Changes in JAWS 5. JAWS, adjust JAWS verbosity dialog, list box, autocorrect dash on, 128.
So there's autocorrect?
Yeah. Space, autocorrect dash on. Space, autocorrect dash on. Smart tags dash on. Style changes dash on. Spelling and grammar dash on. Fields dash on. Comments, footnotes, amendments dash on. Thread changes dash on. Space, thread changes dash speed type. Space, thread changes dash speed type plus count. Space, thread changes dash speed type with color. Space, thread changes dash speed type with color plus count. Space, thread changes, match speed type, author of date. Space, thread changes, match speed type, author of date plus count. Space, thread changes, match all.
So these things, you know, this is, it's quite involved just how far this stuff really goes. But insert V, the insert verbosity dialog box, is a great place to go through and get a quick overview of what you can do. Okay?
I'm not sure if it's there. Is there any way you could have it, you know, when you land on one of them, you could press a key and it will give you a bit more information about what it does?
Yeah, we've talked about being able to do that, and the answer is we'll keep talking about it. Basically, if you go into the configuration manager, those are JAWS things, so I guess they're not specific because these are more specific to Word. But learning what like track changes is all about, I'd encourage you to go into the JAWS help, Microsoft Office under popular applications, go to Word and read about those things in there, because we will describe those things in that location. I don't have an easy way of extracting the help while we're sitting on these items in this list. Although if I could do it with an insert F1 or have a help button here that you could just, you know, some way of getting help other than just executing it.
Yeah.
We'd probably look at doing it, but... Okay, keep going.
Excuse me. I apologize.
This is one that's been thought about, talked about quite a while. You know, when we go back into Google here... And you bring up insert V.
JAWS, adjust JAWS velocity dialog, list box, navigation, quick keys, dash off, 135.
And you have all these different settings like navigation, quick keys, and things like that. Let's say you have, you know, some web pages, maybe they've set up keys to be able to allow a user to jump around on their website automatically. Have you heard about that?
Access
keys. So if you press this key, it just gets you there where you want to go. Well, what happens is our quick navigation keys interfere with that, right? So you might want to turn off your quick navigation keys on that website in order to use their keystrokes, if you knew what they were, okay? I'm just using this as an example, because I can't think of a website where I'd rather use theirs than mine. But if there were, it'd be nice to be able to jump in and turn this off. Well, you can do it, right? You can go to verbosity, you can come here.
Space, navigation, quick keys, dash all.
I can turn it off, press enter. Now on the Google page, if I press F, It doesn't do quick navigation. If I press M for frames, it doesn't try and do frames.
Caps lock off.
If I turn off the caps lock, it helps too. But it doesn't do anything, okay? Why would you want to turn it off? Well, if there may be access keys built for this website. Some authors create these access keys, and you hit the key, and it moves you to a particular place. I'm not sure. I don't think so. Not in HTML. Not on HTML pages.
I've been to a site where it takes you to a place you can download files.
Yes. I think you can do it with Alt too. I've seen them that way too. But let me get back to the feature here, because this was a poor example. I should have talked about graphics. You know, maybe you want graphics to read a certain way on this website because of the way the author set up their graphics. You don't want to use alt tags. You want to use the long description. But if you change it in the verbosity and then you go to another web page, now it's still the way you set it up. So I've turned off quick navigation keys here in Google. When I go to another web page, they're still turned off. So wouldn't it be nice to be able to teach JAWS that when I come to this site, behave this way. But when I go to that site, behave another way. So that's what we call personalized HTML verbosity settings, okay? So, while we're sitting here, let me...
JAWS, adjust JAWS verbosity dialog, space, navigation, quick keys, dash, say all of me. Space, navigation, quick keys, dash, on.
I'll turn them back on. See, you can have quick navigation keys during a say all only, which is kind of nice. You can turn them off, only have them on when you're in a say all. All right, so I turned it back on. I want to get it set up the way it's supposed to be.
Edit JAWS.
So now I come into Google, and let's say I decide I want to change just one specific thing for Google, but I want it to be normal everywhere else. So instead of doing an insert V, I add the shift key to that keystroke. So it's shift with the insert V.
JAWS, personalized settings for Google.com dialog, list box, graphics and HTML hashtag, 1 of 19. Graphics rated by my national tag, list with graphics dash on.
Now I noticed they didn't have the quick nav keys here. They don't have the quick navigation keys. That should be in here.
As a master report dash graphics URL, list with image max dash on, list with text only max screen text.
But you can change these settings and they'll only apply for Google. And it will remember. So tomorrow when I turn on my computer, they'll still be there.
Site-wide, is it?
Yes. Domain. Yes. Which is the way you would want it. Because the author's doing it the same way. Okay? Great feature. For someone who does a lot on various internet sites, I think you'll find this to be very useful. Okay, back to our list. For the folks that just came in, basically I've got a list of the new things in 5.0, and we're just stepping through them one at a time. It'll keep us going here for the next hour or so. So we're just going to keep on moving through. Okay, so anyone familiar with the HTML options dot 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 in the config manager? It had about 86 controls in it. It was kind of complex. So we've modified the dialog box. So let's take a look.
JAWS manager dialog. Ideation support list box. Configuration manager. Whatever. Dialog. Microsoft Word.jzm-JAWS. Default.jzm-JAWS. Configuration manager. All desk. Menu max. User options. Dot, dot, dot. Page. Leaving menu. HTML options. Dialog. Text page. Stiff mask. Repeated text on new pages. Checkbox check.
So it's a multi-page. We're on a text page. If I use Control Tab, I'll just run across these.
Graphics page, graphic velocity tab, graphics radio button check, zoom read, links page, say link type checkbox check, list of tables page, indicate list checkbox check, settings and frames page, settings velocity settings with level radio button check, 3 of 5, misc page, screen crack virtual cursor checkbox check.
That was misc for miscellaneous. And so these will continue to grow and evolve, but we think we've laid them out a little more logically. You may see one more page show up in here before we get to public, but that's kind of growing. I think this makes a little more sense. And by the way, whenever I try and get into the configuration manager, I always try and remind people about using Insert F1 here. You had raised the point earlier, it'd be nice to be able to get some help about what that is. Well, so many people don't realize this about the configuration manager, but when you're on these pages,
text page, stiff mask, repeated text on new pages, checkbox check.
what is that mean? What is this thing for? Insert F1.
If this checkbox is checked, JavaScript smacks repeated text often found on multiple pages within the same website. The virtual PC cursor is placed at the beginning of the text on each page. This setting is checked by default. Press escape to post this message.
Now, this may be something that you actually don't like on a particular website. You don't want it to keep skipping past new text. You always want it to start at the beginning of a new page so you can get rid of it and you can personalize it for a domain. Okay? So don't forget that. Insert F1. That message is also, by the way, on screen visually, so if someone sighted looking at it can see it, and you can navigate it back and forth with Braille. And you can even select it, copy it to the clipboard, and take it someplace.
So like another one that you have that's very good, which is the control or insert W.
Yes.
That's a very good one.
Yes, to grab all the information about a window and yep, put it all up there and let you walk through it. Okay, back to our document.
The vote got called that board.
Yes.
How is that personalized to your web page, that configuration manager setting?
Say again?
How does that personalize? What's the feature that allows you to personalize that to the web page?
Shift insert V.
Oh yeah, but that's not in the configuration manager, is it? That's where you get the application. So in the configuration manager, how do you personalize it?
You don't. Well, you can't in the configuration manager. You can have to do it through the verbosity dialog box.
Is it stored somewhere? You can migrate from one version of Java to the next.
I don't know where it's stored. I think that'll be part of the merge process. But to be honest with you, I'm not sure on the internals exactly how they're doing it. But this information, this configuration change is being stored in a JCF file based on the domain. But I'm not sure internally exactly how they're setting it up. So I don't know how to answer that.
In order to configure settings for a particular domain, you have to visit that site and then bring up the controller setting.
Exactly.
You can't just go...
You can't go into the configuration manager and say,
set up ahead of time.
If I go to some other web page and here's an address... make this happen. I don't think that's the way you would normally do it.
But it does mean that there are some controls, but not all controls are accessible from the verbosity.
That's correct.
So there are some controls that you can't personalize.
That's correct. There are some things that aren't able to do through the verbosity dialog box. Mm-hmm. There are some things you just can't do that way. Mm-hmm. All right, back on our list.
Dictionary manager lets you assign language or sounds.
Ah. So... we've always had the ability to set up pronunciation rules for words. So if you're on the word dictionary here and you don't like the way it's pronounced, or if you don't want to use a long phrase, so let's see, let me try and think of a good phrase here. What's that?
Weapons of mass destruction.
Ah.
W-E-E-O-N. S.
Whoops.
Weebians.
Weebians.
Weebians. Weebians. Weebians. E. A. Weapons. Plan. Stay O. Stay F. A. S. S. Stay E. Weapons of mass destruction.
So, you would rather, whenever Jaws runs across the phrase weapons of mass destruction, have it say... WMD. Or maybe you'd rather have it play a sound. Like a bomb going off.
Yeah.
Well, in 4.5.1, you could easily set it up so it would just do WMD. Let's go through the process of how we did that.
Select the weapons of mass destruction.
First, you select the entire phrase you want. Otherwise, it will only grab the word that the cursor is sitting on. So if you select the phrase and then go to the dictionary manager with an insert D.
Press Control plus Shift plus D to modify the default dictionary file. Otherwise, changes will affect only the current application. Microsoft Word .jdf -dictionary.
Ah, see that? Even the dictionary files are Microsoft Word JDF. It's not a WinWord JDF. I press Enter here to add.
Enter. Add dictionary definition dialog. Actual word colon edit. Limits of mass destruction. Add. Replacement word colon edit. WMD. Enter. Add .. button. Control S. Alt that forward.
So now, I'll come down onto the text,
WMD.
And it just says WMD instead of Weapons of Mass Destruction. Well, let's change it now.
Home. Selected WMD. Microsoft Word.jpg.
Oh, actually, I just want to go find the rule that I just set up is what I want to do.
Shift tab, search for FBZ. Shift tab, dictionary entries extended, select list box. W, weapons of mass destruction equals WMD. Tab, change ... button. Enter, change dictionary definition dialog. Actual word edit, weapons of mass destruction. Tab, replacement word edit, WMD. Land, space.
We won't have it say anything.
Advanced...
But we'll go into this advanced dialogue under the dictionary.
Enter, change dictionary definition dialogue, advanced settings dialogue, sound colon, list one, list two, list one greater, one of liberty two.
And you land in a list box with 52 items.
Ascent.log, bookpost.log, buzzer.log, buzzershort.log.
These sounds are sounds that we created, or our developers went home in their house and walked around the house and created. And we've tried to give you various lengths, but we're trying to make them fairly short. And they're stored under the root of JAWS under settings, ENU or ENG or DUE or whatever language you run. You'll find a directory called sounds, and that's where we store our sounds, and you can add your sounds to that. I suspect users will be coming up with a few new ones. So I don't have a good bomb going off for weapons of mass destruction. But let's play Buzzer Walk. Now, to play the file while you're sitting on it, you just hit the space bar.
Space.
And you get to hear it, okay? So I'll press enter to accept that one.
Enter. Microsoft Word.jdf-jaws-dictionary. Okay, but enter.
I'll save it.
Hold that forward.
And now I'll down arrow onto that line. In addition to the sounds, you can also tell it to switch language. So let's say you have some foreign text that's in your document, and you would rather have the synthesizer switch to that language and speak that text correctly whenever it finds it. You can set up a dictionary rule on that particular word and assign the language to it, and then JAWS will automatically switch the synthesizer, provided the synthesizer has that language. And it doesn't have to be a SAPI 5 synthesizer. It could be whatever synthesizer you have, provided we've set it up. Okay? Let's go back to our list. Let me get rid of weapons of mass destruction. I don't want to keep that in my list of things for everybody later. You mean, why would you want to assign a sound to a word rather than have it say the word? Well, you might not want to have it on, you might not...
That's the word of you, a BB on expletives.
Yeah, you were trying to, you know, you put in a beep for, you know, expletives, and you want to beep them out in a document so somebody doesn't have to hear them. Let's talk about this next one here. Speech and Sounds Manager. This is probably the most complicated new feature we've added into this product as far as development-wise. We hope we've created something that the users will begin to experiment and explore with. We think this is revolutionary. It's kind of a breakthrough. Nobody in Windows has ever attempted to do anything like this before. But let me go further into this document. I'm just going to let JAWS read some explanation about this to you, because it is fairly complicated, and if I start explaining it, you'll get confused probably. Let me find it.
Sounds, control F, find and replace dialog, paste the text from the clipboard.
Copy,
select, control F, paste the text, enter, find next button, all this power is escaped. All this is, action, action, you, tap. Star Speech Manager.
Okay, here it is.
Star Speech Manager. JAWS 5.0 introduces the most powerful means of customizing how information on the screen is presented to the user. Previously, JAWS could be instructed to tell you when text attributes, color, color changed, and told you when you tapped or arrowed between different control types, add from a menu to a button, etc. But the method of feedback was always through speech, which meant that things could get a little verbose. JAWS 5.0 allows all kinds of information to be user definable. Imagine being able to tell JAWS to match the bolded text in a different voice, match an answer meaningful message when text was italicized and underlined left parent, such as link right parent, match read all text in a particular font in a different language, match change the digits of font size change, match use the sound to indicate that you were focus on the meta field. Dash use different sounds to indicate the state of a checkbox. Dash speaker read a call message when text in the particular color was encountered. Dash read quoted text in a different voice. Dash use sounds to indicate capitalization. Dash indicate different amounts of indentation using sounds, etc. Page 5. All this is now possible. You can even use the dictionary manager to replace words by sounds or play a sound as well as change the pronunciation of a word. You can also tell JAWS to always speak a particular word in a particular language. Imagine replacing the left pointed arrow symbol with a sound which played from the right ear to the left. All this power is available just by selecting the appropriate speech and sound scheme or by using the more powerful and flexible dictionary manager. We have called the customization of such feedback a behavior. That is, you can assign a behavior to a particular kind of attribute. You can even tell JAWS that you're only interested in certain kinds of attributes and to totally ignore others. The set of behaviors which are currently active have been grouped together in what we have called the speech manager file or scheme. Schemes are easily shared among users and can be switched on the fly using a keystroke which brings up a list of the currently defined schemes. The keystroke is JAWS key plus alt plus S or insert plus alt plus S. This world first feature enables the user experience to be as intuitive and flexible as possible. There is nothing in the industry which comes close. JAWS 5.0 will come with a set of default SMF files, but these can be very easily modified and shared. When you first run JAWS 5.0, it will sound and feel like prior versions of JAWS. This default scheme is called Classic. If you want linear attributes and not study narrow through text, you can select the Classic with attributes scheme. You no longer have to go in and check all kinds of checkboxes that get specific information. All you do is load the scheme which includes all of the information you want linear the way you want linear. The script language has also been enhanced to provide a way of specifying all of these kinds of customizations. In summary, we now support a basic set of XML tags. When you use the same command, you can provide a string of XML and JAWS will play the sounds, change the voice, change the language, etc. as defined in the XML. The following attributes and indications are configurable: colon, control type, control state, page 6, attributes left parent, normal text, bold, italic, underline, strikeout, graphic, highlight, right parent, font name, font size, font color, caps left parent, both single and all caps right parent, spell, quoted text, indentation. Since all synthesizers have a different set of voices and characteristics, we have provided a means of enabling the definition of an uniform.
You get the idea? It's quite complicated.
How do you deal with that? That it was just going to talk about there at the end, the synthesizer issue.
Since all synthesizers have a different set of voices and characteristics, we have provided a means of enabling the definition of a uniform set of voice names which map to the specific synth voices using a specified fission rate. We call this mapping the voice alias. A voice alias thus allows us to tell JAWS, use the spelling voice when text is being spelled. Using eloquence, this could map the shell using a slower rate. Authentic, it might map the sentence at a different rate, but the voice alias name stays the same. We have added a voice alias dialog for setting up such mappings and provided a default set of voices. At the time of writing, JAWS 5.0 comes with the following schemes already defined.
So you have a voice alias?
Run JAWS manager dialog. As we have provided an list box, configuration manager, enter. At the time of writing, JAWS 5.0.
And if you go under
HTML, text processing, dot, dot, customized punctuation, dot, dot, dot. Speech and sounds manager, voice aliases, dot, dot, dot. Enter, leaving menus, voice aliases, dialog, list 1, list view, all caps, voice current, voice pitch plus 20, 1 of 25. Old voice drop of 2 of 25. Graphic voice grammar 3 of 25.
So this is for eloquence, obviously, right?
Heading level 1, voice drop of pitch plus 5, 4 of 25. Heading level 2, voice drop of pitch plus 10, 5 of 25.
Okay, so you can see in headings, what we'll do is we'll use the Rocco voice and we'll, depending on the level of the heading, we'll change the pitch. So you'll be able to start getting a feel for what heading level you're at just based on the pitch of the voice that just spoke. So it won't have to say heading level 6 and then read the heading. It'll just read it with a different voice at a different pitch and you'll be able to identify what it is. So in theory, once you get the hang of it, and once you tune into it, you will be able to go through and process material much quicker rather than have to hear JAWS explain contextually what's going on, telling you about what the indentation just was, rather than have a sound indicate that there was an indentation there. If you were programming, this would be very valuable. Okay? So that voice alias is there. Let me bring up the and you can go into this speech and sounds manager there in the configuration manager, and it's all user definable, but it's much more involved than I want to even get into right now. But let me just suffice it to say that if you go in and look at these,
select the scheme dialog. As we have provided the endless box.
So I brought up that with the insert alt S.
Classic left parent attributes and font info right parent.
And if we switch to this,
enter, switch the scheme, classic left parent attributes and font info right parent at the time of writing, JAWS 5.0.
So now, let me select this.
At select, time selected.
And I'll bold that.
Bold on at the time.
Now I'll move over a few words.
Writing, comma, JAWS.
And I'll select this.
JAWS 5, period, selected.
And I'll underline it.
JAWS 5, land.
So now I've got a line of text with some bold, some normal, and some underlined text.
Bold at the time, normal, the writing, underlined, JAWS 5.
And that was the other way of announcing how it would, you know, would announce the fact that it's bold. Let me switch to proofreading scheme.
Select the scheme dialog. As we have provided, proofreading left parent attributes, proofreading left parent attributes, right parent, enter, switch the scheme, proof, land. Are too far, the writing,
JAWS 5.
Zero comes with the
okay, so you don't want it to tell you the attributes, you're just trying to have it speak it, so I had to switch to proofreading. So let me do it one more time.
Zero comes with the volume.
Okay. A little confusing, but you get the idea. I have a feeling that this is just going to, there are going to be some people that are just going to take off and run with this. And it's new, exactly. The beta testers that have been playing around with this thing are really finding the potential here. And again, all we're really doing is trying to put a new tool out there for users to start modifying. And it is all through a standard UI. And I think, you know, we're trying to create some schemes and provide some sounds, but the users will take off and run with this. You can modify any of the schemes that we've created through the UI. You can just go to the Edit button. It'll modify the existing scheme you're sitting on and set it up any way you want. Okay? Let's go back to our list.
Top of line, bold underline, added dictionary, blank, added speech, blank, and the virtual variables. You can now ask for a percentage of page without delete.
Ah, a percentage of a page. Let's go to a web page.
All tab, JAWS, all tab, Google-Microsoft Internet, Google.
I think I got a better web page.
All tab forward.
Let's close that.
My documents, folder view.
Let's see.
Menu active. Oh, HTML is challenged. JAWS 4.5 key.
Yeah,
enter. HTML is challenged.
Okay,
HTML.
So I've loaded up a big web page here.
Heading level one, the HTML is challenged.
And I'm up here at the top. So if I do an Alt-Delete, which is cursor position keystroke, tell me the cursor position.
Virtual PC cursor active 1, 3, 0%.
And it's at 0%. If I down arrow a few lines, and now I do cursor position.
Virtual PC cursor active 1, 11, 15%.
I'm 15% through the document. Yeah. So I can tell approximately how big this page is and where I'm at. Okay? No, HTML. Any place we use the virtual stuff. Not the way we do it, but...
I guess it's doing that scroll bar, right?
Huh?
Is it doing that with the scroll bar?
It's actually in... Well, it doesn't tell you how many lines there are in the document with the scroll bar. It tells you how many pages there are, but it doesn't tell you how many lines there are. Yeah.
Not in the table. PC cursor active 0 centimeters from left edge, 15.014 centimeters from top edge. Page one. Current window restriction.
Now it tells you what page you're on, but it doesn't tell you the line of the page. Okay. So Alt Delete. So I'm going to show you another feature in a minute. I'm not sure where it is on the list.
Alt tab. Changes in alt tab. Ability to get character value left pair, Nancy value right pair, using Z. Character 3 times.
Okay, so.
Ability to get character value left.
So, if you ever been on a character and you'd said, I wish I knew what the ANSI value of this was, easily. So, right now, if you push the say character one time,
A.
It says the character. This is a capital A. If you push it twice quickly,
A.
It gives you that. If you push it 3 times, it tells you the ANSI value of that character. By the way, there's also a feature to be able to input a character. Like, if I want to use the pound symbol, and I don't have the pound symbol available to me on my keyboard, I don't know what the keystroke is to do it. Now, this is in 4.5.1, and it isn't that keystroke.
Select the symbol to read dialog.
Insert 4 on the number row. You bring this up. And you pick the letter that you want, the character that you want. So if you want the pound symbol.
T, paragraph symbol left key, plus or minus T, pounds. Enter. Page without the leaf. And the virtual area, you can now ask for a percentage of pounds.
Percentage of pounds. Okay, so that's in 4.5.1, but I want to remind you. So not only can you insert these characters without knowing the actual values, but you can actually find out what the value is of a character that you're on. Okay?
Which simple sets does that work with then? Does it work with type sorts or with windings?
I don't know that it works with windings. But I believe that you can add to this list. Let's get back to our list. We've got a long way to go. You love this. You know how you can select a link, select a heading? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to select a form field? Let me find a document.
John 4.5. Form example, enter. Enter.
Come on, why aren't you
Alt tab, changes in JAWS 5 match Microsoft Word. Alt tab, JAWS, Alt tab, HTML is challenged, Alt tab 4. Title is my document. Enter.
I got an hourglass going here. I don't know what it's trying to do. Why I can't find this stupid document.
Alt tab, changes in JAWS, alt tab, my documents. Form example, enter. Page has no edits and no links, for example.
Okay,
for example,
found it. So,
changes in JAWS.
Oh, you know what? I turned off that stupid thing.
JAWS, adjust JAWS velocity, dialog, list off, user velocity, escape. For example, OTAC, JAWS, OTAC, for example, at Microsoft, it's JAWS, adjust JAWS velocity, dialog, list off, navigation, quick keys, at escape.
They're on.
For example, identification, first name, cold, enter, form, phone, first name, R-I-C, C-I-R-E, caps lock off, E-R-I-C, caps, last name, colon, E-A-M-E-R-Y.
Okay, so I've typed in a couple of things in the form fields. I wanted you to see the fact that not only are we going to get the form fields, we're going to get information about it. So I said the keystroke was insert F5. So if you're on a form, whether forms mode is on or not, this will work. When you do an insert F5,
select the form field dialog, list box, first name, colon, Ed Berry, 116. Last name, colon, Ed Berry. Now, Rachel button checked. Woman, Rachel button not checked. Month, colon, combo box, choose a month.
So let's press enter here.
Enter. Form example, combo box, choose a month, 1 of 13. Choose a month. January. February. March.
Notice that forms mode was automatically placed on when I landed in the control as well.
February.
So you select the form field you want, press enter, you land on it, forms mode is on, you can then deal with it. Okay?
That's cool.
Great feature.
Yeah, Eric, that's a good question.
Yes.
Just to ask that, say on Google where the actual edit field is.
Can you speak up just a little bit? I'm missing this.
On this form, obviously each form element, each the edit field and checkbox, whatever, is labeled correctly.
Yes.
Okay. So what if it was Google site where the actual edit box isn't labeled and didn't insert a file, what would bring up?
Ah, good question.
Start team accessory sub menu.
What do you think it's going to bring up?
Just probably edit.
I would expect that's exactly what it'll bring up. So the point is, on the Google page, it says edit because there is no prompt for this edit field. So when we bring it up, insert F5.
Select the form field dialog, list box, edit, 1 of 3. Google search button.
So if there is no prompt, that's all you're going to get.
Because that labeling, sort of label placement, is a fairly big issue as far as web access for web features.
Yes. Another feature, and I probably won't get to this one, is that you can now toggle form field prompt identification. So there are several different things that can be used to read the prompt. It could be a label tag. It could be there's other ways of doing it. You know what I mean? And if you go into the configuration manager under forms, you'll see that there's a group of radio buttons now to decide which way you want this to happen. And that's toggleable, so you can change it. And of course, you can personalize it for that particular website. So if you have a website, you're always using it, and they don't label their forms correctly, or they don't normally speak correctly, you can tell JAWS how to do it when you come back to this web page in the future. Now, in addition to that, There's another feature in the configuration manager I won't get to show you, is you can go in and you can tell JAWS, use virtual labels in forms mode. Okay. So the reason for this is that JAWS oftentimes is very good about reading the correct prompt if you're in virtual mode, but when you go to forms mode, it doesn't get the prompt right. And you can check this checkbox in the configuration manager under HTML options to say use the virtual labels in forms mode. That's the name of the prompt for that checkbox. And when you check it, you'll find that JAWS does a much better job reading your prompts in forms mode, okay? Let's keep going. I haven't got to the best feature yet. So that's why I want. I'm trying to drive on because it's already 10 past. Okay, so select a form field. Good feature.
Automatic language detection and switching in HTML.
Automatic language detection. If you go to a website that's written in another language and tagged correctly, or languages, it could be multiple languages on the same page, JAWS will automatically switch to that language provided it's available in the synthesizer currently being used. And it doesn't have to be SAPI. I keep saying that because other people, there's another screen reader in the building that has language detection for web pages, provided you're using a SAPI 5 synthesizer. Ours does not require
that.
Let's go to Onthe.
Onthe.
This is a Spanish website. And when we land on it, JAWS will pick up on that and get the synthesizer switched to read correctly when it finishes loading. All this flash that doesn't screw us up anymore.
Page has 5 headings and 37 links. Double is written on central source. Link. Mapania has Muslim. Link. Patricia. Send mail link. Contact. Link. Director. Muscador. Edit.
Now, if I spoke Spanish, I'd say it's reading Spanish now. Because it really is. It's not an English synthesizer trying to read Spanish text.
Right. But the controls are still being nice.
Because I'm in an English operating system with an English JAWS, it's telling me links in English. If I was running the Spanish version of JAWS, the word links isn't written links. It would be written in Spanish, and the Spanish voice would normally read that. But if they go to a English web page with the Spanish version of JAWS, they're going to love, the Europeans are loving this feature when it comes out in 5.0, because oftentimes they land on English-speaking web pages, and they would rather have the synthesizer switch without having to bring up a dialogue, switch the language, and then go back and read it. Okay?
Hold that forward. John.
It's funny, in the U.S., we're finding, we're getting reports of people saying, JAWS is switching to British English on web pages on me all the time now. And it's because there's some authoring tools or some authors, instead of putting ENU in as the language tag, they're putting ENG, which tells JAWS to then switch to British English. So we're having a go at that. Okay, let's keep moving. Context help attribute. I won't show you this, but let me describe it and the reason for it. We are proposing this to the W3C, World Wide Web Consortium, as a recommendation that they implement this, and we'll suggest that authoring tools implement this great breakthrough I think we came up with. I'll just give you the example that kind of brought it about. In the U.S., we work closely with Social Security Administration and the Internal Revenue Service. They have lots of HTML that they're converting everything over to that's up there for their employees and for the general public to go and use. And an example of something might be a tax form that you have to fill out that would be online. And when you go to these tax forms, they're very convoluted. There's a lot of information on the form sprinkled in amongst all these form fields. One of the form fields might be type in the number of dependents you have. And off in the left-hand margin, there's a block of text associated with that form field that says it's because they have to be kids between 1 and 18 and they have to have lived at home with you for at least 2 months of this last tax year, la-di-da-di-da. So this is what we would call context help associated to that form field. It isn't the prompt for the form field, but it's contextual help that is linked to it in some manner. So the way that HTML authors or people have been trying to get us to do this stuff is they put it in the tab index. So now a blind person would basically be tabbing through this form and they would have to read that information before they get to the form field. So you'd have to land on it. Well, why? Why should I have to land on all of that garbage? A sighted person doesn't have to go and read it. It's simply there if they want to get it. They might already understand what they're supposed to be doing, and they don't have to go and stop and read that information. So this is our philosophy in screen reading, is that you should be aware that the information is available, and you should have a way of getting the information, but you shouldn't have to stop at it. Okay? Hence, we came up with this ability to say, we can assign an attribute now called context help. That's the way it's written up. It'll be in our changes documents, and authors will be seeing this. And if you assign that attribute to any control on a web page, then you can assign what the context help is next to it. So now when JAWS finds a control that has such an attribute, JAWS will say, press insert F1 for help. And when you do insert F1, it will read the attribute or the context help that that the author typed in. Okay? So it isn't visible on the screen necessarily. It won't interfere with the HTML in any way. A sighted person would never even know it was there, but the screen reader would now be informed and could have that message read to them. You might even set it up in the future. We might get this set up so a sound plays if there's a context help message with that form field. Okay?
You say it's not visually on the screen, this context help.
It might be. It might be. It might be there. It could be there. It probably is. But what I'm saying is the fact that you've added this attribute, context help, to your form in the HTML text doesn't change the look or feel of the web page at all if they're not using a screen reader. So it'll have no impact on it. Your browser still loads the page correctly, and it'll just be there for any screen access product to either deal with or not deal with if they so choose in the future.
But if you choose to read the whole page,
yes,
would you hear it?
You'd only hear the fact that it was there. You wouldn't hear it unless you stopped and asked to read it.
What worries me is there's something visible on the screen that may be actually hidden to the screen reader.
No, it's there.
Yeah.
The point is, it is attached in a way that you wouldn't normally read it, Mike. This is a case where, I don't know how else to explain it other than when I look at these pages, I don't go and read all that stuff. That's all. I want the summary. I don't want the description.
And it glanced past.
Huh?
It just glanced past.
I'm just trying to skim through this web page, and this is all the extra information that most people don't want to go read.
I still think that using that attribute, which effectively forces the web page author to write something twice, once in the pane left margin, and once in the attribute.
No, I don't think so. There's a way that they can do that.
Yeah,
You'll see in the write-up the explanation of this.
Yeah, I think it's an area for debate.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's being implemented for the Social Security Administration because we've been trying to do this in other ways, and the bottom line is there's too much junk that you have to stop and read all the time, and no one gets through this stupid form. That's the problem.
Because actually what really worries me are the bits I can't see through JAWS on the screen.
But you can see this. That's the point. It's there. Not only can you see it, but you can now get to it in Braille. It's available to you in Braille, because when you do insert F1, it pulls it right up in your virtual viewer, and you can read it in Braille. So you'll see, the reason we came up with this is because we've tried every other tool that's there in the authoring tools to make it so that it felt right and people could get through the information correctly, and tab indexes, and this way, it just wasn't successful. And this... the Social Security Administration said, this is good. They're implementing it for all our websites. We're making it available to anybody else. If they want to try it, go for it. You'll see. So I think this is going to be a good one. People are going to really like to do this.
So we're actually saying to you that there's context help.
It'll alert you that there's a bunch of information here tell you that's relative to this particular form field.
If you hit, if you land on, say, a tax form, and you land on the field where it says dependents,
press insert F1 for help. And when you press insert F1, it'll populate the virtual buffer with all that information that's stuck out in the margin. Okay? You'll like it. Next one.
New quick navigation colon.
New quick navigation stuff.
O equals object. G equals grammar. B equals button. Q equals lock quote. J equals jump as ever jump the line. Left there and control.
I'll come back to the jump. Let's do the buttons first.
Alt tab. Jaws. Alt tab. For example, at Microsoft Internet Explorer.
Okay, so we're on this form, and we filled out our name, and we chose the month, and now we just want to get to the submit button.
Yeah.
Stop making me have to tab through this form. So I hit a B.
Submit this form button.
And it jumps to the next button in the form.
Reset this form button. Grab it at the top. Submit this form button.
Ah, so there's two buttons on this page. We now know it, and we've cycled through them, okay? If you're looking for the graphic on this page, you hit a G.
No next graphic button.
If there are any. Block quotes.
No next block quote button.
Why is it wrapping?
It is wrapping, but there is none on this page.
Okay.
It would go on, yeah. It would be wrapping forever. But if you go to the Google page, if we went back to the Google page, the word Google is a graphic, and if we hit G, we'll find that. Okay? Let's hold off on the questions because I got 8 minutes left till 11:30. I got to finish, and I still haven't got to the most important feature I wanted you to see. So I'm keeping you hanging on here. Jay, let's talk about jump to. There's two features here. If you're in a table on an HTML page and you press J, you will land in a box that allows you to jump to cell. Like in Excel, when you're on a spreadsheet, you can do F5, go to cell. Now you have a jump to table cell. While in a table on an HTML page, a quick way of navigating the table if you know where you're going. You simply type in the row and column coordinates with a comma between it, press enter, and you're there. Now, if you're not in a table, you might want to jump to line. Line in the virtual area. Okay, so let's go to, we're here on a web page.
For example, heading level 1 test document.
And we're at the top.
Virtual PC cursor access 3%.
3% of the document. If we say, let's go to line 20. We know we want to go to line, we don't know what the percentage is, but we want to go to line 20 in this document. Simply hit the letter J.
Jaws, jump to line dialog. Enter line number, colon, enter line undo, 0.
Press enter.
Enter, blank.
It happened to be a blank line, but if I down arrow.
Month colon.
I land on.
Combo box 7, there's vertical 13.
Okay, so I've moved down 20 lines in the virtual buffer. So if you're on a very big web page that has 248 lines or something, and you know, I want to get somewhere near the end. Now, when this feature actually comes out, when you see it, it'll say jump to line 1 of 20, 248. So you'll know exactly how many potential lines there are. So you'll be able to type in an appropriate number. Okay? Great little feature.
When you bring that up, you have it put the current line in automatically. So if you're already on line 20, have a go, jump to line 1 of 240.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we'll do that yet, but that does make sense, and that's probably a natural progression.
Insert tab now reveals all setting options for graphics.
Insert tab. If you're on a web page and you hit some graphic and it doesn't really define what the graphic is, maybe it's a different label or a different way of reporting this information that you would get the right information. But you don't want to have to go to the verbosity dialog box and toggle through the choices and find the one that actually reports it right. So while you're sitting on the graphic, you just hold down the insert key and you press the tab. Press it again. It cycles through all those verbosity options for you and automatically reads what it would normally read for that case. But it doesn't change your settings. A quick way of toggling through.
Text widgets and buttons that cycle through the options. Page, customize punctuation dialog.
Customize your punctuation. A lot of people have asked for this. They like to have their punctuation set to some, but while they're on some, they would like to have this punctuation spoken in some. And rather than saying exclamation point, they'd rather have it say bang. That's all possible. Now you go to the configuration manager, customize punctuation ... and it brings up a nice simple UI and lets you go through and define which punctuation is spoken at what levels and how that punctuation is reported. In other words, what we call it, what you want it called. Got it? I won't go in and run through it. There's not enough time.
Place markers in the virtual cursor mode.
Ah, place markers. I wanted to get to this. I got 6 minutes to explain it. Let's go to a web page.
For example, at Microsoft Internet.
Okay, we're on this form. You ever been on a web page, and as you're moving through the web page, you say, I think this is the important spot, but I better keep going down this web page to find out if there was something else I was supposed to be looking at. But I'd like to be able to get back to this spot after I go further down the page, if this is really where I meant to be. Know what I mean?
Heading level 1 test document. Heading level 2 more example.
So let's say this is where we want to be able to get back to, form example.
Heading level to a form example.
And let's say it wasn't a heading, because if it's a heading, you know, you can bring up a list of headings and choose after form example and get to it. But so for the sake of argument, pretend it's not a heading. It's just a piece of text, and you want to get back here. So we want to put a virtual place marker, a temporary place marker, at this location. The keystroke is Control K to drop the place marker there.
When? Setting level to a form.
If everything is working right. I think what I've changed. I've changed some setting to break this.
Alt F4.
Alt F.
Changes?
I don't think so.
Alt F4. Microsoft N.
Let me see if I shut everything down and restart. Maybe JAWS will be reset. And it'll just be changed.
Enter. Click JAWS for mid-space.
Have we got to the best feature yet?
Huh? This is the best feature.
Oh, okay.
But I want to show it to you. Boy, is it getting hot in here, huh?
Place marker list dialog. Place marker list zero items.
I'm going to do it a different way. Because I'm not sure what happened on my temporary. But let me explain quick. There's temporary, there's permanent. You have one temporary place marker. You can use it on any HTML page you land on, or you can use it multiple times on this page. But whenever you drop it in a new place, it's removed from the last place. Okay, so you have a temporary that you can drop wherever you want. And then the quick navigation key is K, and it'll always jump to the next place marker on that page. So you move this temporary around. But now you've landed on this web page, and you say, well, I know I always want to be able to move to this place on this web page whenever I come here. So you set up a permanent. So you do a Control-Shift-K in this case. You land in a dialog box. You press Enter.
Enter at place marker dialog. Name colon, edit, form example.
It pulls the text in from that line, but you can make this whatever you want.
FIRST-ELACEMARKER.
First place marker.
Enter, form example, edit level 2.
Okay, so I put a place marker permanently there, and the next tomorrow when I come back in, it'll still be there on this web page. Okay? Now I'll move further down the page. Let's go down to...
Identification, first name, colon, edit.
Let's say we wanted to put one right here because this was the field that we tried to get to in this form every day, and I had to tab 15 times to get there. So let's put a place marker at this location.
Place marker list dialog. Place marker list 2. Not selected. First place marker. Another one.
So now there's one place marker in my list because I already made one. I'm going to add another.
Enter. Add place marker dialog. Name colon. FIRST space. NAME.
First name, we'll call it, because that was the first name field.
Enter. Edit.
Let's move
land
further down.
Plan entity ratio button check map one. Plan rate. Plan entity change your birthday. Plan month colon. Combo box 2 the month 1.
This is the combo box for month. We'll put one here.
Place marker list dialog. Place marker list 2. Not to enter at place marker FONTH. Space COFCO.
Month combo.
Enter combo box 2 the month 1 of 13.
Okay. Now you leave. You come back the next day.
For example.
You land at the top of this page. You hit the letter K.
For example.
But you can use the list to go to them. So let's say we want to go to name. Bring up the list.
Place marker list dialog. Edit first name. Enter edit.
And we landed in the edit. If we want to go to the month combo, we bring up the list.
Place marker list edit month combo. Enter combo box 2 in the month window.
And we landed right in it. Okay? But it'll also work with K. Huh?
When you jump to first name that time, you just said edit. Why did it say first name?
It said first name because that's what I named it in my list. Well, I put the place marker on the edit, not in the control. But I could have used insert tab when I landed on it to read it, or a say line would have read the prompt.
But it
does not force you to forms mode. Remember, it's not specifically for forms. You might use this on a newspaper because you're always trying to jump to this area. Let me finish real quick on this place marker. I got to get out of the room here. You can have as many of these permanents as you want. They're URL or domain specific. They're stored in a location that you can share them with others, so you can pass place markers out to people. You can go in and customize an HTML-based application with a bunch of place markers and then pass them to everybody else on the network to use. You can also read them using Control with 1.
There are no frames on this page.
Control Shift with 1.
No place markers were found.
If it's working. Through 0. So Control Shift 1 through 0, or if you do it twice, it moves you to the place marker. So you can either have them read or move to them, okay?
And how those place markers defined, I mean, if there are changes to the page when you return to that
it's
page?
It's based on how the page was put together. So if somebody goes in and adds a table to the page, you'll probably have to go in and rearrange your place markers. But if they've simply updated the text from yesterday, it should work just fine. I got a break right here, okay? Because we got to bring up PacMate. Let's head out the door.